Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Father, our trust is in you always. We put them all to you. By your Spirit, speak to us. Grant us understanding. Cause that our hearts will receive the content of your word. And your word shall become flesh in our lives. Father, as we talk about families, homes, marriages, pray for the healing stream that comes from above to heal all wounds in families and to mend all cracks in the walls of our homes. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The second law of marriage is what I call the law of the triangle. The law of the triangle. Psalms 112, verse 1 to verse 3. Psalms 112:1-3. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly. Now, there is something about the man, there is something about the woman who has God's fear. The Bible says his delight is in the commandment of the Lord. It said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever. So it begins from God. The Bible says his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Now, in mathematics, we were told that triangle will have the tip or the apex, and then it has the bottom or the base, and then it has the two sides. Now, at the apex of the triangle, you have God. At one end of the triangle, you have man. At the other end of the triangle, you have woman. Now, when the man and the woman, they are standing at two extremes, and God is at the apex. Each of them, the man is trying to get to God, the woman is trying to get to God. When the both of them get to where God is, the both of them will meet there. So they will become God, man, and woman. And that's a combination that is unbeatable anytime, any day. Now, if we are going to enjoy marriage, we must seek individually to know God. Is it when the woman loves God and obeys God and follows God, and the man is also striving to love God, to obey God, to follow God, somewhere in the midst, somewhere in that journey, they will come to a point of convergence where the both of them will meet God. And their purpose, their union, their practices will synchronize. Without God, no matter how hard we try, we will always get it wrong. My counsel to women a lot of the time, especially when a woman says, well, my husband is not cooperating. My husband is not the man I would wish he should be. And I will say to the woman all the time, ensure that you are the woman God wants you to be. Don't allow your husband's attitude to reflect on the way you relate with him. Be the woman. Be God's kind of wife. Now, if you continue to be God's kind of wife, you are already engaging God's support. And when you continue to be God's kind of wife, somewhere along the line, God will bring your husband to meet you there. Because if you want to say, I will give it to him the way he's giving it to me, then we're not going to have peace at all. Peace will be far. You are not going to hold on to the collar of your husband and say, you are not going out today. You are not going to say to your husband, you are not eating today. That won't bring peace at home. I've seen a lot of women who say, well, my husband, you are doing this, and I will give it to him. I will make this house uncomfortable for him. And then when he comes back, you actually make the house very uncomfortable for him. You are not going to eat. You are not going to stay with me. He wants to touch you. You say, go away. And that's the same person that is crying that my husband is staying out. And he tries to come home. You are sending him away. You are giving him a reason to stay out the more. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs chapter 31, we always talk about the virtuous woman. And I say this thing about the virtuous woman, that every quality that is listed of the virtuous woman, there is none of such quality that has anything to do with her husband. She's a virtuous woman not because the husband is a good man. Now, if you read that passage, you discover that the husband was not even mentioned. There is no mention of the man. Now, God didn't mention the good attributes of the man. But the Bible lists the good attribute of the woman. So that means that her attribute is independent of the husband's attitude. And I believe that we also have virtuous men. Praise God. Now what I'm driving at today at this law is that it is the man's responsibility to sit down and share things with his wife. Now look at this triangle. Now you will see at the apex, God is up there. And then you see the husband here and the wife here. Now, there's a distance between the husband and the wife from the beginning. Now, that distance can be created by language, background, home training. That's the distance. We are not the same. We don't come from the same home. We were brought up differently. Maybe sometimes we were brought up with different kinds of meals. Now, there are some homes that they take garri for breakfast and tea for lunch. And then beans for dinner. Praise God. And there are some homes that it is tea for breakfast and eba for lunch. And then rice for dinner. Now, we come from a mixed crowd like that. So when we come together as a husband and a wife, we are going to have that gulf created in between us. Now, that gulf will not easily be bridged on our own by ourselves. Because so many times, I'm too used to what I am used to already. Yeah, I'm used to garri in the morning. And she's used to tea in the morning. And then we may never agree. Because there's some men that say, if I don't eat a bite, they like say, I never eat anything. And the woman said, no, this eba is going to cause you too much carbohydrate in your system. And we may never agree at that. That's the distance between me and my wife. But the work that we need to do individually is to begin to ascend high. We are going up. While the husband is going towards God, the wife is going towards God. As we continue to travel, we are learning God. We are learning the principles of God. We are learning the expectations of God, the requirement of God in our homes individually. As we continue to travel on that journey, either the man will meet God first and then stays with God. The wife is coming. And 1 year after, 2 years after, the wife will get to where God is, only to discover that the husband is already there. Praise God. And when the both of them meet God, they have come to a point of agreement. No more distance. You discover that the distance reduces as we get towards God. The distance between the man and the woman reduces. So when we get to the peak of the triangle, there is no more distance. All of us are now in one place. Inside of God. Praise God. So the man is only doing what God expects of him, and the woman is only doing what God expects of her, and there will be no crisis between the both of them. Praise God. Let the man love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let the woman submit herself to her husband in all things. So when the woman gets to God, every time there is trouble, she goes to God. God, this my husband is so troublesome. God will say, submit to your husband. And then when the man gets to God, and the man will say to God, "This my wife is too troublesome," God will say, "Love your wife." And so he discovered that there is nothing else. God is always saying, "Love your wife." God is always saying, "Submit to your husband." And before you know it, they don't have an option. And we have come to a point where we have become one. It is only in God that a man and his wife becomes one. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. And what will happen? Two of them shall become one. Now listen to this. An average Jew woman prays dearly for her husband based on three Psalms. I give you this secret. It's from a book from the Jew. An average Jewish woman prays for her husband from these three Psalms. Psalm 112, Psalm 127, and Psalm 128. If you are a wife or a potential wife, write down these Psalms and use them to pray for your husband. Psalm 112, Psalm 127, and Psalm 128. If you are a married woman and you are thinking about what to pray for your husband, take these Psalms, 112, 127, 128, and start from there. Insert his name in the appropriate places and pray for him accordingly. These prayers are important because there's no woman that can flourish beyond the fertility that her husband supplies. There is no woman that can flourish beyond the fertility that her husband provides. So the husband is just like a fertile ground. And how much the woman will flourish is a function of how good the ground is, which is the husband. And so, every wife should understand that she is a planting in her husband's life. Every woman understands that. I am a planting in my husband's life. And how fat I become is a function of the ground that is provided. So that's why, as a wife, I don't seek to prosper alone. I've said before that it's not a competition. No, it's not a competition. So don't seek how to outwit your husband, outdo your husband, be better than your husband. No, you are not going to be doing well. Every woman understands that I am a planting in my husband's life. And that is why God spends time to work upon a man. Some marriages have troubles today because the man have not discovered his purpose on the earth. Hence, the woman does not know how to help him accomplish anything. Now, for a man, understand that it is your duty as a man to sit your wife down and share things with her. Sit your wife down and share purpose with her. This is what I want to go from point A to point B. This is what I want to achieve from this point to the other point, so that she will know how to help you. If you tell your wife you want to build a house, before you even buy the first bag of cement, she has already concluded the colors of cotton that will be used in the house. That's how a woman is. While the man is thinking of how to buy sand, buy cement, the woman is already concluding on the colors of the cotton, what will happen. In fact, she has already finished planning for the housewarming ceremony, the kind of food that they will cook the day that they will be opening the house. She's through with that. That's how the woman is compacted. But if you don't tell her anything, you always want to take her by surprise and by shocks. You don't like the shocks and surprises women give. Praise God. No, you don't like their shocks and surprises. So it is the duty of a man to sit down with your wife and discuss, this is where we are going, because she was created and fabricated to be help for you. She'll be able to tell you and said, "I think we can do it like this." You see, a lot of time we blame women for not functioning effectively, when in reality, it is the man that is not effectively communicating the wife's role to her. She's here to help you. Help me tell your neighbor, she's here to help you. Now, I like every man to know that she's here to help. She has come to help. She has been given what it takes to help. And I pray for every woman that indeed you will be a help to your husband. That man will be able to say, ever since she came into my life, she has become a pillar to my life. She's here to help. She's not there to eat your food. She's not there to take away from you. Women don't spend money. They manage it. It is only mistresses that spend money. Praise God. So if your wife is asking you to give money, give her money. Help me tell your man, give her money. Give her money. Give her something. Praise God. Give it to her. She's there to help. She's there to make you grow. She's there to make you better. Praise God. Are you still with me? Now, if you go to see a doctor, for instance, because you have a stomach upset, and you tell that your doctor that you have ear pain, the doctor could prescribe ear drops for you, when what you need is actually something for your stomach. So you won't blame the doctor for prescribing the right medication to deal with stomach upset. So if you don't tell your wife where we are headed, all her prescriptions will be wrong. And then you don't turn out to blame her and say that she didn't give me a good advice. Amen. That's the law of the triangle. We come to God. So as a wife, strive to know God. This idea of it is only women that know God. You see, there are a lot of families that anything about God is the woman. The man is too far away from God. It's the woman that will wake you, let us pray. It's the woman that will say, let us go to church. And all of that. Whereas the man is supposed to be the priest of his house. He's supposed to be the priest of his home. And so it's your wife that knows how to pray. It's your wife that knows how to call on God. It's your wife that knows how to read the Bible and preach. If you are a man, can you sit down and begin to take up that role, that responsibility of the priest of the home? Know God. Don't only depend on your wife for prayers. Oh, my wife, pray for me. My wife, pray for me. When it is time for your wife to need prayer, she can't tell you to pray for her. Praise the Lord. So let us strive to know God. When we strive to know God, we will enjoy peace at home. The next law, law number three, is what I call the law of precedence. The law of precedence. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. What precedes what? The third law of marriage is the law of precedence. Marriage precedes the family and not the other way around. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we are talking about the law of precedence. Precedence means what should come before something. So marriage precedes the family. It is marriage that gives birth to a family. A man is going to leave his father and his mother. Now, this is not abandoning your family as it were. This is about choosing a preference and knowing that I have to deal with this first before the other one. We have a lot of crisis in marriages today because of family. A man wants to marry and he wants to carry his family, his whole family, into the marriage. That is including his father, his mother, his brothers, and his sisters into the marriage. Praise God. And you will tell your wife, if you cannot deal with it, you get out, go to hell. These people were here before you came. Let me say this to you. Every man will have very five strong women. Number one, your mother. Number two, your elder sister. Before women, number one, your mother. Number two, your elder sister. Number three, your daughter. And number four, your wife. These women are very powerful women. So every man will encounter four powerful women in his life. But all these women are not the same. Your mother, your elder sister, your first daughter or your daughter, and then your wife. All of them are women, but they have different roles in your life. Of all these four women, it is only one that you can sleep with as a man. And who is that? Your wife. No matter how you love your mother, you don't do that. If you do that, it is called an abomination. You don't do it with your sister. You don't do it with your daughter. You do it with your wife. So that simply tells you that these women, they may all be women, but they have different roles and different imputes and different contribution in your life. So they must be treated according to their roles and contribution in your life. Don't give to your wife what belongs to your mother, and don't give to your mother what belongs to your wife. Say, I hear. Now, this is important. The law of precedence. What should come before what? The marriage is very important. It is marriage that gives birth to a family. The marriage covenant is the foundation upon which the family covenant is built. Now, what protects your children and protects your future in the marriage is not the house that you are built. What protects the seed that you are raising is not the security guard that you have at your gate. It is the vow that you made to your spouse that will stick by you. That is the guarantee. When that vow is broken, only God knows the extent of damage that will happen. What protects any family that we are going to raise in the course of our marriage is the vow to stick together. That I give you my pledge that in sickness and in health we will stay together. That is what will protect that home. I said before, some years ago, that the best gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. The best gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. When a family is broken, when a marriage is broken, it causes a lot of damages to the children. And I said to people, every time you see a husband and a wife fighting, the devil is targeting the children. So when we break, when we have a disconnect, when we have a separation, our children suffer the most for it. God knows how many children who are armed robbers today because of crisis between father and mother. They should not have been, but they have become wayward, they have become outcasts because of the vows that the man and the woman took didn't bind them together, didn't keep them for too long, so they separated. And before you know it, the children suffer the most. When this vow is not kept to, the family will suffer. Praise the Lord. Some people violate the marriage vow as the children are being added to the family. One spouse will begin to promote the children over the other spouse. The wife can spend more time with the children by talking with them more than her husband. The husband can care for the children more than his wife. Now remember that when the children reach a certain age, they will leave the nest. And it will be two of you that will continue. So never at any point in your journey promote the family above your marriage. The strength that is in a family is coming from the strength in the union between the husband and the wife. When you see a good home, you see a home that has stronger relationship between the man and his wife. I like to say this to all of us, mothers and fathers, especially mothers, never keep saying, I am here only because of my children. I am here only because of my children. I have seen children grow up and never remember the mother who did everything for them. Have you seen it before? I'm here only for my child. It's just because of my child. Try to find a reason to be there because of that home. Try to find a reason. Because you never can tell which woman your son will get married to. And before you know it, it takes his mind. See, women are powerful. If they could take the mind of Solomon away from God, they can take anybody's mind at any time. Amen. So the home must be built. The marriage must be built. Your union with your wife, your union with your husband is very important. That's why the Bible said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they too shall become one flesh. I've talked about the law of the triangle and the law of the precedence. Now, take these two very important. Now we have mentioned three laws. The law of purpose. Understanding why we are here. That we have come to help each other. Understand that my wife, if you pay school fees for the children, you have not done something strange. Let the woman understand that if you have to pay rent for any reason, you have not done something strange. You have done what you were sent to my life to do. Men, say I hear. Praise God. It's okay. It's okay to do it. If there is need to do it. So you don't begin to find yourself. That is why you came into my life. The Bible says when one falls, another one will do what? Will pick him up. And that's why the Bible says, woe unto any man who falls and does not have somebody to help him. When a husband and a wife falls at the same time, I know that the devil has attacked that family. Because it's not supposed to be like that. When the man is down, the woman is supposed to be up. When the woman is down, the man is supposed to be up. But when the woman's business is crashing, the man's own is crashing, he just lost his worker, and then the woman's business crashed, there is an attack of the devil, and we must not see it as normal, because that is not normal by biblical standard. When one falls, another should pick him up. And I'm going to be praying for our marriages today, that both of you shall never fall. If there is a need for a fall at all, one will be stronger in the days of another person's weakness, so that we can lift up ourselves. So understand why we are here together. You see, when a woman pays rent for 2 years, she complains. But a man has been paying for 25 years. No complaint. We are doing it together. Understand why we are here. Purpose. And then we talked about the law of precedence. Please, treasure your marriage. Praise God. Treasure your marriage. My mother of blessed memory will always say to us, see this food. This pot belongs to your father. Nobody should touch it. No matter how hungry you are, that one is her husband's food. You don't touch it. My mother will always look at my father's face when he is eating. And when he finished the food, she looks at what is remaining in the plate. And she will go to my father and say, you didn't like the food. Because she has looked at the plate. What is remaining is more than what he has eaten. And the woman said, what happened? You don't like the food. And the man said, I don't quite enjoy. Before you can say, Jack, she's going to the market. What does she want to do? She wants to prepare what the husband will like. Do we still have women like that today? If you are not like that, receive grace to be like that. The interest of the man. Does he like it? How does he feel about it? Not the one you say. The man said, I don't like it. This thing where everybody they like. Now you know like. Okay, they're there now. Praise God. Everybody they like it. Your husband is not everybody. This thing, everybody they like him. If he doesn't like it, he doesn't like it. You go to the market. If you need to go by 12 midnight, please do. Praise God. My mentor's wife will always say, my husband interests first. And she said, I learned something. That sometimes my husband will wake up by 12 and say, I feel like eating dodo. And one day she sat and said, what kind of man is this? And God said to her, give to my son what he wants. And so now she says, anything my husband says he wants, whether it is 1 a.m., except he didn't tell me. And so she will carefully keep things in the kitchen so that whatever the man wants, she will go in and prepare. And when she's doing it with joy, singing while preparing the meal. And that makes the meal sweeter. Praise God. Because there is excitement in her heart. Why? She said, the reason God brought me to his life is to make his life better. If I am still available in my husband's life and is wishing for another woman, that means I'm failing in my responsibility. And I throw that as a challenge to you. Every wife, if your husband ever desires another woman, you are failing in your responsibility. Every man, if your wife ever desires another man, you are not doing well.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.